Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Liver disease. It took Lou Reed from us. Who's next? Hello, it's the Luke Peake Show with me, Pete Donaldson. And I'm joined by Luke Moore. How the devil are you, sir?
I'm all right, thanks. Liver, as far as I know, intact, fully operational.
How's your liver, mate? Yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah, I'd love to do a little scan.
Retrospective.
Like you can on No Man's Sky, where you can kind of check everything's okay.
Yes, Luke asked me what video game he should buy, because he likes Zelda. So I gave him a couple of excellent examples, and he decided not to go with any of my recommendations and buy the much maligned No Man's Sky.
And I'll come in on that for a couple of reasons.
One, a man who plays very few video games.
Yeah.
Decides to get into one of the more complicated ones.
Well, look, point number one, when I asked you for your advice, you patronised me.
Didn't patronise
you?
So,
you're probably just like this little mini platformer that'll take you five seconds to complete.
I said all of these are like little bite-sized games like Inside. I can't remember what I actually
I don't want a little bite-sized one. Don't patronise me. Because you think I'm a gaming basic bitch, which I am. Anyway, I then bought No Man's Sky, chucked it on.
Yeah.
I was like, fucking hell, this is complicated.
What the fuck is this?
I've spent more time Googling how to do things than I have playing it.
What do you want from me?
I'm still good at it. I'm still loving it. I'm still loving it. Yeah, I am.
It reminds me of the when on the plane back from Tokyo, I watched the rest of Ad Astra. Ad Astra?
Yeah. I've not seen it, but I know what it is.
It just seems a bit like it's quite complicated. All getting to the moon and then getting to Mars and then getting to Jupiter.
Yeah, and the things you've listed there are merely inside our own solar system.
I know.
Imagine what it's like in No Man's Sky.
Have you encountered any interesting creatures?
It's good. I'm a man of many faults, Pete. Most of which you've unveiled on this show. If people didn't know about them already, which is absolutely fair enough. But one thing I'm not scared of is kind of challenging myself. I've committed to it.
Mm.
So I'm busy anyway, so I only kind of do it to wind down for a couple of hours every so often. Which is not conducive to playing No Man's Sky, by the way. It takes 2 hours to build a little fucking refiner.
Uh-huh.
I've not really got very far, but I mean, I'm enjoying it.
It's basically an update of Elite, really. It's that kind of thing.
That's why I love it.
It's a bit of Elite.
I was going to say to you, two games I absolutely loved as a kid, Elite and Exile. Mm. And it's kind of a combination of those,
which
is brilliant. Mm. It's great. It's loads you can do. It's lots of fun.
It's very good now, apparently. It was terrible when it came out.
Yeah, so what's the story behind that?
They overpromised and underdelivered, as a lot of video game companies do. But to their eternal credit, they stuck around and improved it exponentially.
So the one thing I am unclear on is the fact that I expected... So I've set up my little base on my home planet, and I'm exploring and doing lots of bits and pieces, doing little challenges. But I expected to see more people... other gamers playing
around,
coming and looking at my base or building the base near me or something.
Right.
I feel like I've got the whole planet to myself.
I feel
like I've got the whole of Noshama Gamma to myself, mate.
Noshama Gamma?
Is that what you called it? No, I haven't called it. Can you rename it? They gave me that planet.
I don't know, to be honest.
I don't feel comfortable. I can't lay claim to a whole planet. That feels a bit a bit totalitarian.
I think the big thing is that the actual world is so vast and there are so many different planets that it's actually quite hard for anyone to meet. Should have made it smaller so people could actually meet.
But like the universe we're living in at the moment.
Exactly. That was one of the criticism that I think it was promised that players would every now and again pop, bump into each other. But it's still apparently a very rare event.
Yeah, it's definitely. I see people sometimes rocking about the local space station doing stuff.
Cool.
But you can't really interact with them. And the one thing I do have a problem with, because I'm of a certain age, is that it's hard getting my head around the fact that I obviously can't finish this game. I can't complete it.
Right.
So, like, it's not. With Zelda, I was enjoying it because I knew there was an end game and there's a big boss, which I defeated. I can't. There's going to be no big boss in this, I don't think.
It's a game for children.
So yeah. Well, listen, it's fine. I'm now.
But No Man's Sky is very much not a game for
I'm
children.
I'm now adult gaming, and I'm out of my depth. But anyway, to
can
cut
I
off
interest you in Dwarf Fortress, which if anybody's familiar with
it,
a Dwarf Fortress,
it
is legendarily known as the hardest game, or certainly the most complicated, nuanced, and just complicated game in the world.
Sounds great.
It looks like shit.
I thought that Super Ghouls and Ghosts was officially the hardest game ever.
That is quite hard.
It's really hard.
I'd love to run around in a suit of armour, and then if I get hit or knocked over, I'd just in my pants. Saturn, you know that ring? Apparently some people believe it's Jesus' foreskin.
Okay. First of all, I thought because of your accent you were saying satin. As in knights in white satin.
Knights in white satin. Yeah. The Ghouls and Ghosts knight.
Yeah.
Knights in white satin.
Some people think the Saturn is Jesus's foreskin.
Okay. Yeah, apparently that's in some kind of weird scripture.
Okay. Yeah. You got any more info?
Nope.
No. Why not? Leave it out
just
there.
Just wanted to say the word
foreskin. Let other people fill in the blank.
Let everyone else fill in the blank.
It's a community
focused
show.
Imagine how many
show.
Coins you could fit in that foreskin.
Don't put coins in your foreskin. Don't that's such an 80s and 90s thing to do. We know more about hygiene now. You shouldn't be doing that. Imagine the bacteria that are on coins.
Actually, I mentioned the fact that Lou Reed died of liver disease. He made a playlist of 27 songs just before he died.
Not on Spotify.
Well,
why is Lou Reed using Spotify?
I think he might.
This is worse than when he injected heroin live on stage.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
That is.
People are upset about it.
Well, people don't want. Yeah.
It's a bit on the nose, isn't it?
A bit. Yes.
He didn't inject it into his nose.
Right.
It was his arm, I think.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Fucked Up, one of the bands. Good band.
Yeah, good band.
Good band.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, good.
Bit of Nicki Minaj.
Great.
Yep. Howlin' Wolf, Anthony, Crazy in Love, a cover of the Beyonce classic by Anthony and the Johnsons. I don't know what that sounds like, but I imagine it sounds like. I'm crazy right now. I'm looking so crazy right now.
Sorry, I thought you had played it then.
So I know,
so
right?
Good. Looking so crazy, your love's got me looking so crazy in love.
I'm crazy right now. I'm looking so crazy right now. My Anthony and Johnson's
was the last,
so clever.
Was the last record that Lou Reed put out, the collaboration between him and Metallica called Lulu, which is one of the most unlistenable things you could ever imagine. And the good news is it's only 87 minutes long. So something for everyone there.
Put that on Napster.
Yeah. It's one of those things where Lou Reed probably got in touch with Metallica's management. Mm. Said, "Oh, I want to work with Metallica. They're great." Mm. And Metallica have got into a situation where they thought, "It's Lou Reed. We can't not do it."
Yeah.
So we have to do it.
It's a cultural obligation.
And we've got to go along with whatever he says. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It'd be like if Steve Coogan came in here, but was mental and said, "I want to make this show."
He'd be mental to do it.
He would be mental to do it, to even come anywhere near it. But and then we would feel like, because I'm quite robust about going back to people and about their ideas.
Right.
But even with him, I think even I would be like, okay, yeah, we'll just do it. And it would be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, cool.
It's a similar thing. Anyway, the story that caught my eye this week on a slightly different tack is, that's one of those stories. I'm just going to read the first line of the story. Mm-hmm. That's from last week. A badger that fell through the ceiling of a super drug had been sheltering from Storm Ciara in a ventilation shaft.
Oh.
The animal shocked staff at the outlet in Northampton's Grosvenor Centre.
By giving them TB.
When it came through a ceiling panel before running under the perfume counter.
Nice.
Imagine you don't expect it.
Going straight for the Bulgari.
For me, this is the expectation here. If a ceiling panel comes down in any shop you're in, can happen.
I'm thinking cat. Maximum.
I'd probably think pigeon.
Yeah. Would they have enough?
Or mouse.
Mouse.
Or rat.
Heavy, fat rat.
Badgers are big.
Badger.
I saw a badger right behind the bins at my mate Lewis's house once.
That would be
spectacular. And I shit a brick. I absolutely shit a brick.
They're one of those animals that are everywhere, but you never see them. You see foxes all the time, but to see a badger would be a real treat, I think. But they're big old fatties, aren't they?
And apparently there were perfume bottles strewn all over the floor. But the badger was fine, wasn't injured. And she's now in a safe place where she can be released back into the wild.
Cool.
It's a badger. Should a badger be knocking about a Northampton shopping centre anyway? Is that a damning indictment of what we're doing to the environment around us?
Is it like those turtles that are attracted by the lights of the city, so they are going in the wrong direction instead of going for the moon?
Turtles? Is that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, maybe.
Attracted by the big city because they love pizza.
Exactly. Oh, do you see that guy on American Airlines being a dick?
Yeah, what a knobhead.
Seriously,
you talk about the guy with the reclining seat?
Man who's sat at the back, or, you know, we love a bit of air travel.
What an absolute cunt. But,
sat at the back.
He was a complete prick, that guy.
Sat at the back, the woman had reclined her seat, so instead of being the bigger man, literally, and just winding his neck in, he proceeded to, all the way through the flight, punching the back of the woman's chair. Like,
but the thing is, has he not said, I mean, I haven't read the actual story, I've just seen the video. Has he not said to her at any point, oh, by the way, just so you know, my seat can't go back, so do you mind, just if you would be at all possible,
possibly,
would you mind not reclining?
Possibly, but I would say in that situation, tough titties, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is tough titties.
It's been a big week for plane stories, because there was that woman who was a representative, she was an advisor to a politician in the US, and she got upset because there was a crying baby on the seat across the aisle from her,
right,
and started complaining. And the flight attendant was kind of along the lines of, look, I'm very sorry, ma'am, there's nothing I can do.
It's literally a baby.
Yeah. Mm. And the parent says, oh, my baby's not going to cry the whole flight, don't worry about it. She loses her mind and says to the flight attendant, give me your name and your number, I'm gonna report this. So the woman gives her name and a number, and she says, yeah, you'll be lucky to be in a job tomorrow. And then the flight attendant just flips, because they're on the runway still. The flight attendant just flips like that. I want this person off the flight.
Yeah.
And the woman goes, I can't get off the flight, I've got a really important meeting.
Yeah.
She's like, tough titty, get off. And she's like, I'm really sorry, I won't say it again, I didn't mean it. I'm under a lot of stress.
Oh, is this filmed?
Yeah.
Want to see that film.
She got fired as well.
She got fired from her job.
Someone did some investigative reporting.
Did
and found her name had been taken off the website that she's supposed to work for. Leave of absence was used.
Leave of absence.
So it's been a big week for plane stories.
Just don't flip out. Look, we're on the same box. Don't worry about it.
We're on the same metal cylinder.
Oh, the same metal cylinder, baby.
Peter, we should also cover this story here, which I thought was a really nice one.
Okay.
Of a woman who celebrated her 18th birthday at a pub called the Hartford Mill. I don't know where it is. I was in Cambridgeshire. Cambridgeshire. And you think, okay, fine, yeah, fair enough. She had her first legal drink in that pub. The nice part of this story, on the 14th of February 2002, so Valentine's Day 2002, her mother went into labour in that pub.
Nice.
Unexpectedly, of course. The family then moved to Vancouver in 2006. So she flew
back
4,500 miles all the way back to her first legal pint in the pub in Cambridge, the Hartford Mill.
Nice.
The photo taken, obviously they've invited the press down there, or they've taken photos with a camera, or with a phone camera or whatever. She's drinking a pint of what looks to be quite tepid bitter.
It's not a young person.
Would you choose that?
Not as a Canadian. It looks like, at best, Doombar.
I'd have a natty ice. In America's hat.
It doesn't look it doesn't look nice.
These comments are disappointing from her. She says, I've always believed in the English and European way of introducing young people to alcohol safely.
She's very wide of the mark.
Yeah, plus it's well away from the cold fizzy beer in Canada. Doesn't like cold fizzy beer.
She would not go out with a drink for me. For me.
Yeah, she's 18. You're way too old for her. But when I saw the words cold fizzy beer, the first person I thought of was you. Because all you say is, just give me a cold fizzy lager.
Yeah, exactly. It's until I die. It's what I want.
So nice good on her.
Good on her. I saw, talking of people travelling a long way to do weird stuff, I was watching an episode of, like that Aussie border patrol or whatever, where they're at airports and they're basically just questioning people.
Isn't it literally called Aussie border patrol?
Probably
should be. Yeah.
Aussie border patrol, and they're asking why a woman from Thailand is flying back and forth to Australia 17 times a year.
The answer is heroin.
Surprise is heroin in a vagina.
Yeah.
But there was another guy who... basically, he was from Canada and he'd flown all the way to Australia, and he was there on a working visa. So what's that, 12 months he was allowed to be there?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And then he broke and he just stayed there for 9 years. And so then they found he presented himself. They threw him out of the country and gave him a ban. He came back on like a 3-month visa, stayed for 9 months, got thrown out again. he's in Thailand then.
Yeah.
And he's coming back. He's trying to get back in after his 3-month ban's gone. Trying to get back in. And he's going, I'm just coming to meet some friends. Just coming to meet some friends. And she's going, I found a business card saying that you're the head of a fruit and veg importer in Australia. And he's going, and he's got this beautiful guy, Canadian / Australian lilt.
I like his chutzpah.
He's going, no, I just got them made on the spur of the moment. A business card that basically said, and they said, honestly, just ring any of my friends and they'll tell me I'm based in Thailand, that's where I live, blah 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 blah. And so she rings up his friend, and his friend, she I think presents herself not as a border patrol, just as someone in authority, and they go, yeah, he's really important, he is a big fruit and veg importer in Australia. Absolutely mugs him off, he gets banned for another 3 years, see you later.
Do you know what I'd say? You're from Canada, mate. You've got a fucking Australian accent. That's the ultimate piss take. You've flexed here for so long, you've picked up the accent, right? At least put it back onto Canada when you speak to me.
I love it.
That's brilliant. Love it. I admire his chutzpah.
It was good. Just after that level, I mean, even from South Asia, like, exhausting flight. And then you're just having to be grilled by a woman who's out taking none of your shit.
In Australia and New Zealand, they're very, very particular about border stuff.
There was a woman who was bringing a lot from Iran. She's bringing in, imagine the most amount of spices you've ever seen in your life. Mm. How crap has the food got to be that you've got to bring so much fucking saffron through? If all of these border patrol programs, it's not about drugs, it's not about this. It's about people bringing in fucking seasoning, spices.
Yeah.
And they look suspect because they're powders.
And I would.
You can buy that there.
And I would take that personally, because what you're saying is your food is shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's always a reality show out there for someone. I've got the problem with, and I think it was Bob Mortimer who said this first. Mm. National Treasure, Bob Mortimer. I'd love to do a podcast with Bob Mortimer. Mm. If you're listening, Bob, he's not listening. Get in touch.
You had a flirtation with someone else. You want a bit more, don't you?
I don't mean to replace you. I wasn't thinking that. But if it works for both of us, Pete, it's fine. the thing I was going to say is, I think it was Bob Mortimer who said this first. He said that part of the reason he doesn't make more TV programs is because he gets the impression that the executives in TV companies just don't watch TV.
Mm.
He says that they'll always watch a big Netflix drama series, yep, or a big kind of a big high budget type BBC Sunday night thing or whatever. But he says generally they don't watch TV, because every time he speaks to them, because he said, I love watching TV, and I'm unashamed to tell you, I love watching telly. I watch it all day. I watch this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And he said, but every time I speak to a TV exec about a TV program I've watched, they haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. And thinking,
I agree with that massively.
Yeah, same. And I was thinking, surely the MO of like of reality TV is like there's going to be something out there for someone, right? And I'm not talking about all this kind of this horrible stuff that's been going on recently with people on Love Island and the dreadful stuff that happened with Caroline Flack. I mean, you should be interested in something enough you'd want to watch a reality TV show about it. And clearly with you, it's Border Patrol. For me, it's 90 Day Fiancé. I love watching it. It's a great show.
Is that like...
It's like they come from... So people come from other countries usually,
right,
into the US, yeah, or someone in the US has fallen in love with someone in another country and they've got 90 days to get married before the visa runs out.
Right.
So they can get a K-1 or something.
Okay.
Now, I will say, I have issues around the ethics of the exploitation of people on that particular show.
Mm.
But generally speaking, like 9 times out of 10, it's just very entertaining.
They're desperate to get married? I mean, I was confused.
Well, you never know. That's the jeopardy of it. So you never know if they're sincere or not.
So they found these people in the wild who are already in a relationship and they're going to get married.
Mm.
Right.
They've met on the internet or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like, this is a first meeting or like a second meeting, or they just...
Sometimes it can be they've been online dating for years and never met each other.
So the producer's sort of going, go on then, get married.
They've made the decision themselves.
Right.
They just have... So the point being that if you and I... So you live in...
Vancouver.
No, that's not how it works. It's Canada. Right. You live in Estonia.
Right.
And I live in America.
Yeah.
We've fallen in love online. Mm-hmm. And we've chatted online for like a couple of years.
Yeah.
The moment you touch down for in the US,
yeah,
we've got 3 months to get married or you're out.
Clock ticks.
Yeah, so the idea being that when you move the relationship from me online to physically,
yeah.
does it work or not?
Yeah, but you have to in 3 months. Could you not just pop over for a bit and then go back and then pop over? What do you mean?
No, you can't. You come on a tourist visa.
Yeah, tourist visa and then go back. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the particular type of visa. Okay. If you come on just for a holiday, you can do that and go again. Some of them do that.
It's a confusing present.
Do you want to be in a relationship with me long distance, Pete?
Not from Vilnius. No, not Vilnius. That's not in Estonia. Doesn't matter.
Tallinn. Let's have a break and we'll spend the second half telling you all about your emails.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's okay for macho men to show every emotion available right there, you know, because I've cried 1,000 times, I'm going to cry some more.
I'll never get over the voice. I will never get past it.
The voice.
It is the most remarkable voice in all of recorded history. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch with the emails. Pete, you're going to set some homework by the end of the section as well. So yes. If you haven't prepped that, you better do it.
Okay, cool.
What about this from Russ, who says, hi chaps, I'm writing to bolster the case for a new type of beer. So, you know, we were talking about different types of beer, how you enjoy them. Lots of people have got in touch with things like airport beer. And, you know, if you listen regularly, you know all this.
Yeah.
Russ would like to put forward, get this, the bus stop beer.
The bus stop beer?
The worst and I started reading it as well. But he said, my brother-in-law lives in the sleepy town of Rostocky, just outside Prague. At the bus stop towards the city, there's a little hatch in the wall. A stout knock on the hatch will, as early as 6 a.m, cause the shutter to open and a foaming stein of fine pilsner to be thrust forth. It costs less than the bus ride and nobody bats an eyelid. Thank you very much, Russ. He says, for the record, a shower beer is not as good as a bath beer either because it's too hectic.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You're going to splash water into the beer, aren't you?
Yeah, I think you've got to be very disciplined with it. Bus stop beer, you having that? If you were on holiday...
It's a bit of a walkie beer for me. That's a bit of a... I remember sort of being in Ibiza and we were waiting for a bus to take us into town. I remember.
Yeah. KTV listening.
And I just wanted a nice beer while I was waiting for it.
Fizzy and cold.
Fizzy and cold. sorry, I just got really distracted by the surprising age gaps of Disney couples.
Go on.
Do you want them?
Yeah, of course I do.
Not necessarily an email, but I did prepare this, so I'm going to bloody stick it out. There are some buttes in here. Hercules, right? Hercules is
it. Put this in, Katie. Who put the glad in gladiator? Hercules.
Who put the glad in gladiator?
Hercules.
I've never seen Hercules. Is it any good?
Yeah, it's decent.
It's one of the more modern ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hercules is 18. His lover is Meg, 28.
That's
rare.
It's the other way around, yeah.
Rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cinderella is 19. Prince Charming, how old do you reckon he is?
50.
21.
Oh.
He's 21.
Oh, Prince Charming. Sorry, I was thinking of someone else.
So Frozen, Anna and Kristoff, 18 and 21, respectively. Tarzan.
How do people know this, by the way?
It must be in the law somewhere. It must be in there some kind of, yeah. There's a lot of very problematic ones. Aurora, Sleeping Beauty. She's 16. Prince Philip, 20.
Not the
Prince Nino,
Philip.
Nino.
Not the Prince Philip.
No, not the Prince
Bloody
Philip.
Bloody hell,
no,
he's not 20.
No. Definitely sketchy in many parts of the world. Mulan.
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 Yeah, I think it's Mulan.
All right. Mulan.
Yeah.
Mulan. Mulan. She's 16. Shang, her lover.
Yeah, the worst one is, I think the worst one in real life is Pocahontas, isn't it?
Which was Pocahontas is not 18, but in Disney, he's 20. John Smith is 20. Now, the worst one, get this one. Snow White is 14. Prince Florian, 31. You're going to prison, Prince Florian. Well done, mate.
Well done?
Well done. You fucked it.
Well, we
not
know
that.
You can't absolutely say that. Well done, you fucked it. Well, it's like I have a jetpack on here. God, the
how
edit
much did
with
you have
Jack,
to out?
The
how
edit
much
with Jack was unreal.
Yes,
it always is.
Love it.
But what I'm saying
I'm
is,
I'm going to download the originals. I'm going to release the originals. I'm going to release the master tapes.
In real life, when John Smith met Pocahontas,
right,
she was troublingly young.
Right.
I know that because my wife knows lots more about things than I do, and she told me, but also I checked it, and I think Pocahontas died at like 20,
yeah,
and married him back in the UK at 17 or something. So,
ooh,
very young.
This
also rears its head with Tom Cruise,
okay,
who regularly is on screen married to women ridiculously younger than him,
yeah,
all the time. The film American Made, he's obviously he's 55 at the time or 54, and his wife in that, Sarah Wright, was 33 I think at the time. There's another one, Edge of Tomorrow, he's like madly older. And someone
Edge of Tomorrow was reviewed on Clash of the Titles, an excellent film podcast.
Yeah, it's also available on the Stakhanov network. Go to stakhanov.studio or wherever you get your pods. Someone pointed out to me, again, might have been my well-learned and very clever wife, said, if that was the other way around, if it was the woman who was 54,
yeah,
and the man who was 34, mm-hmm, whatever it is, that would be the plot of the movie.
that would be
what the movie was about.
Yeah, I think there's only like Daniel Craig, who obviously is in the Bond film, who has, obviously he has a lot of lovers because he's James Bond, but he's had a couple of actors
be more
who are roughly his age.
I'd be more comfortable if you not using the word lovers in the studio with me.
Lovers!
I was going to say something to you as well, then I forgot what it is now. Do you remember all that furore around Keanu Reeves dating a woman his own age? People lost their shit about it. Have you seen her? She's got grey hair. Well, yeah, Keanu Reeves is 50 odd.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not ridiculous.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Incredible. Wind it in. Do you want to a little bit of burying stuff email action?
Yeah, that was the homework that was sent a few weeks ago. The things that have been buried in the garden.
I like the echoes from history. I like that. I like the sort of... this is sent 3 days ago, though. Ian Harrison. Good morning, chaps. After hearing a recent episode, we don't know episode numbers, do we? No, we don't.
Nah.
About random things being buried, it sparked a memory about a friend's granddad. When my mate lived at home with his parents, they built a pond in the back garden for his younger sister, who had special needs, as a place for her to relax in the warmer months. The family garden backed into his grandparents' property, and one summer's afternoon, his granddad was looking out of an upstairs window when he spotted a heron taking fish from his granddaughter's pond.
Oh, this happened to my granddad.
Really?
My granddad's got really annoyed by a heron a number of years ago, coming into the pond taking his fish.
Taking the fish. Apparently this has happened more than once, so he decided to wait for the heron at a mate's house one afternoon, and sure enough it rocked up looking for a quick meal, and it got more than it bargained for. My mate's granddad rushed out of the house with a spade and gave the fleeing heron an almighty crack with said spade. The heron... The heron hit the ground with a thump, and the granddad strode over to inspect his handiwork when, unexpectedly, the heron flapped a wing.
You can't do that.
How did granddad respond? he basically slashed off the heron's head at its neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should, I mean,
look,
when was this? Because if it was before the Wildlife and Countryside Act of 1981, this is this is problematic.
Feeling proud of himself, he was gloating about his exploits when the family returned from work later that day. My mate's mum was horrified and told him that what he'd done was illegal and herons were protected.
Yeah.
Feeling perturbed by his revelation, he proceeded to pop the heron's corpse in a bin bag, and under the cover of darkness, he took it to the woods next to the local park and buried it.
Undignified.
Absolute Netflix documentary level.
Undignified.
Yeah, wow. Archie in Haslingden.
Can I just say I'm not laughing at the idea of a heron being brutally killed. I'm laughing at the idea of a grandfather
turning
without
the spade
thinking about
on
it.
Its side.
Yeah. Just in front of his grandkids.
Drawing it above his shoulder.
I'll
and
deal with this.
The neck off.
Yeah. That's not great. No. That is not great.
Love it, though. Love the story.
Thanks for letting us
know,
though.
Don't respect the sentiment.
Don't shoot the messengers. These things happen. Mm. As people will say on other podcasts more successful than us, they walk among us. Mm. Tyler C's been in touch. We'll squeeze this email in before we go. This is a throwback to an even earlier topic, Pete, the topic of dad pranks.
Okay.
And it's from Tyler in Milwaukee. He's emailed in a few times, I think. He says, this is a throwback to an earlier episode, but your recent banana chat brought it back to mind. A friend of mine's dad used to take a small pin and stick it through one side of an unpeeled banana. Not all the way through. He would wiggle it back and forth. He would repeat this several times down the banana. As a result, when my friend would open the banana at school, it would already be sliced.
Right.
For years, he and his brother thought they had special bananas that came already sliced in the peel. How good is that?
That's pretty cool. That's a nice thing. That's a nice thing for your dad.
Not too devious, but a high quality dad prank.
It is.
Thanks for that, Tyler. That's great. Hello at lukeandpeach.com to get in touch. Pete, what's the homework this week?
The homework this week is, let me just get my little list of things up. Crumbs. Have you ever had an upsetting or satisfying or fantastical, interesting conversation or relationship or situation with a telemarketer?
Nice.
Someone trying to sell you something online, over the phone, or in real life.
Yeah, knock on the door.
Telemarketers. Have you ever bought anything from one? Have you ever got involved sexually with one?
Yeah.
Have you ever lampooned them and kept them on the line for ages?
Can I extend it? That's a great one, and I'm looking forward to the responses to that. I want to extend it by saying what I do when a telemarketer calls me is I say hello, and they say, is Mr. Luke Moore there? Mm. And I say, I'll just check if he's available, making myself to be some kind of PA.
Yeah.
I hit the mute button, leave the phone there, and see the longest I can get them for.
That's wasting your battery, isn't it?
Sometimes I'm at home, they'll plug it in.
Cool.
9 minutes I've had it before. And the reason I respect the 9 minutes, you want to know why? Because that person doesn't want to be doing that job.
Yeah.
They're on a call. They're technically doing their job. They know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I know that they know what I'm doing. They know I know what they're doing.
They're just having a lovely little time.
They're having a rest.
Fun.
Probably making a cup of tea. Might have gone for a shit. 9 minutes. No harm done.
No.
Good on them.
Lovely.
So
job.
So have you ever had a weird, interesting, upsetting, satisfying, or notable interaction with any kind of telemarketer? Mm-hmm. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Get in touch. Tell us. You can also reply with the older homework stuff as well. Yep. We'd like to hear about your parents and how much they hate you.
Yep.
That's always good stuff.
Garden nonsense.
Garden
attic nonsense. Whatever.
Don't kill any birds that are protected.
No.
Don't kill any birds.
Don't kill any birds.
See you on Monday.
That's a chicken.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.